You are listening to a sermon by Heidi Epp, recorded on Sunday, April 6th, 2025, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
So good morning. Thank you for having me again. And I have to say, I'm suddenly much more nervous seeing that Sven and Laura are there and Laura Sport, all these people who have been spiritual mentors and pastors in my life. And and lovely to see the Bruce family. And Natasha, you're going to see a picture of Gabby in a second. I don't know, how do you do this with the screen, with the PowerPoint? Okay, you could put up the PowerPoint, the first slide. And there we go. Yes, you've heard. For those of you who don't know me, I'm not actually a preacher, although yesterday I was visiting with friends at our house. We were having a New Year's party at the farm, and I'll explain a little bit more about that. But my friend mentioned that she heard that I was preaching here today, and I said, yes, although I'm not really a preacher. And she said, oh, but Heidi, you preach outside the pulpit all the time. And I really couldn't. I don't know what the takeaway of that was supposed to be, but I knew I had no defense. As you've heard, I'm a music educator and choral conductor, and I work both in Yarrow and in Richmond. I'm also the program director for the Bakerview Music Academy, which is an Il Sistema program in Abbotsford. So I have a lot of fun in my work. I don't really need a social life so much because all my work is very social. And the next slide. I am also a mother. I have a 23-year-old daughter who grew up for many years with Natasha. Gabriella is attending UVic right now, doing a double major in history, and added most recently a music performance degree in viola. I live in Yarrow, which is at a home that is affectionately called the Nut House, for a variety of reasons. One, we used to have hazelnuts, but also for our family that lives there. My brother, my mother, his wife and two children, my mother, my sister and her husband, we are all there. Gabby's in Victoria now, but was with us. And you might say we are a little nuts. This brings me back to our New Year's Eve party. We decided, Laura, my sister-in-law and myself said, we weren't so impressed with 2025. We really think we should have a do-over. It's not going so well. So we decided to host a new New Year's party and invite the neighborhood and friends and give it a 2025 2.0, and hence the Nut House. We also learned, though, apparently the original New Year's was at the beginning of April. So I don't know. Maybe we were onto something. I attend Yarrow United Mennonite Church, and in my faith journey have developed a real passion for worship, for community and fellowship, creative expression in worship, and in our musicology. And many of the people here have spoken into that in my life and inspired and nurtured that along the way. So this whole Lenten thing, I know I did not grow up with it. I didn't know anything about these Lenten practices until well into my adult life. I'm just curious here, who actually grew up with Lenten practices in their childhood, awareness of it? Okay, well, your dad. That's who I learned my Lenten first thing from too. So you can go to the next slide. The Sausage Rebellion. This is also something learned recently. Apparently, one of our first acts of Anabaptist rebellion was to break the laws of the church, and it was to eat sausages during Lent. This happened 3 years before the first adult baptism even took place. In early March 1522, Ulrich Zwingli, a Catholic priest at the time, along with a group of people seeking the renewal of the church, gathered at Christoph Froschauer's home, who was a printer, and ate sausage together, breaking the law of fasting to rebel against the church laws that seemed unbiblical. The meal represented the freedom in Christ that Martin Luther had called for already in 1520. And interestingly, this last March 6th, they held a commemorative worship service there, eating sausages outside Zurich's big cathedral, bringing together the Swiss Reformed Catholics and Mennonites as a way of saying that we could come together after years of hostility. I can't help but wonder if that's what's led to our deep appreciation and significant reputation for Mennonite farmer sausage, as is in Rempel's case. And are they aware of this? They should, I think, market this up a little bit. So how do we get from a rebellion to Lent to a rediscovering and developing a new perspective on Lenten practices? What does it mean to give something up for Lent? When I first came across this, and it was Zach's dad that introduced me to this, it was about giving up coffee or chocolate or something of that nature, and to use that time to connect with the suffering of Jesus in the wilderness and to make space for God to speak to us. More currently, I've heard about social media and some of the digital games that are given up for Lent. Well, around 15 years ago, as a member of Peace Church, after learning about these Lenten practices, I wondered if we could move the Lenten practice from an individual one to a corporate one. And if so, what would be meaningful for us as a congregation to give up? Now, I had a big plan. It was much bigger than one Sunday. I had it for the whole Lenten thing, but I was given one Sunday where I could do this. And I thought, well, what do we give up? So I thought that perhaps we could give up music for something that could create space for God to speak in our worship. After all, it was what we spoke about most, argued about most, criticized most, and cherished most. Perhaps this is a way to make space for God's grace and us to understand each other in our music. I thought I might share a bit of that experience that I did that Sunday with you in today's service. And we'll be singing Amazing Grace, a verse at a time, but peeling back the layers in a Lenten kind of way. So we're going to start with verse one, kind of like a Fat Tuesday, all in, every harmony you can think of, and all kinds of piano that Zach can muster. And we'll sing the first verse of Amazing Grace, which is 163 in your hymnal. So walking into the wilderness. In my first pregnancy, as a new first-time mother, of course, I wanted to do everything right. And so, of course, I was going to give up coffee. Not just coffee, but also all caffeine. I reflected through the pregnancy, and I began to look on it as my maternal Lent. If you know me, you know I love a really good cup of coffee. I mean, quality coffee. So this was not an easy task, and it was long. There were times that I wanted coffee so much, I would actually walk up to a stranger walking by with a fresh cup of coffee and say, "Can I please just smell your coffee?" It actually led to some interesting, lovely moments in conversations with complete strangers. As this was a longer Lenten season in the wilderness, I had time to reflect on this Lenten practice and came to see it not so much as a self-denial, but an act of love. I gave up caffeine as an act of love for my child, my son. Might we willingly walk into the wilderness as Jesus did when he went into the desert as an act of love, a way of making space to love, to reflect on God's love and be filled? If you look at the tree on the slide, you might notice something. It's a disorder I apparently have. I see faces everywhere, and I tell you, I do not go looking for them. They just pop up to me. Can you see the face in the tree? It's got a little green hair at the top there. It's looking a little surprised, or maybe it's God sticking out his tongue at me. Here, I was walking in our Yarrow wilderness, and this is what I saw. It was like God showed up in creation to let me know, I am with you always, even in the wilderness, perhaps especially in the wilderness. Towards the end of my pregnancy, we learned that our son had a rare chromosome disorder and that it was ultimately fatal. My maternal wilderness became instantly vast and seemingly infinite. So let's sing Amazing Grace verse 2. But a cappella, if you can just give us our pitches. In her book, Everyday Sacred, Sue Bender speaks about the sacredness of every day in simple ways and shares her thoughts through a variety of stories and experiences. It's a fairly quick read, but I would encourage you, if you're interested in on those kinds of reflections, it's well worth it. She speaks about a friend, an artist, who was taking a class, an art class. And in the class, she was given the project of drawing a pear. She did, and every day she came back to class, she was given the same task of drawing the same pair. She became frustrated and wondered a little bit about this teacher. But after a time, she started to realize that for days, she was only looking at the pair. It took many drawings before she really started to see the pair. And this took her to a whole new place in her drawings. In my second pregnancy, the one of my daughter, my maternal Lent of caffeine took on a whole new meaning, a whole new dimension. I was walking in a different, while familiar, wilderness. I felt more isolated, even more reflective, but oddly, more confident and calmer. It was though the repetition of this Lenten practice brought dimensions to my faith, to my prayers, in unexpected ways. Every month peeled more layers of reflection, like the repetition of the pear drawings, inviting me into honest, raw, vulnerable prayer. Matthew 6 giving me permission to pray how I felt, unfiltered, unedited, free in every direction, grief and joy, faith and doubt, fear and trust, all engulfed in love. I really like the way Eugene Peterson presents it in the message. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. While the doctors were concerned there were maybe an issue with my daughter, I knew in my soul that I would walk out of that Lenten wilderness with my daughter in my arms. And when they finally agreed she was fine and placed her in my arms, I started singing a German lullaby, Weißt du, wie viel Sternlein stehen? It had been part of my Lenten practice. No caffeine, but this German lullaby that translates, do you know how many stars are in the sky? Do you know many clouds go in the sky? God knows and counts each one of them. And if He knows them, how much more does He know and love you? I started singing this, and she, in her newborn state, instantly wrenched her head around, looked me square in the eyes, and it was as if we had known and loved each other forever. Let's sing Amazing Grace, verse 3, but in unison this time. How do we go about engaging this Lenten practice of choosing to deny ourselves as an act of love for God, for others, for ourselves even? I don't think there's one way to do it, and I don't think there's one right time to do it. I don't think it has to be limited to the Lenten season. I don't think it is to punish ourselves or to suffer, which I think our forefathers were experiencing in their present state, and we're trying to say no and rebel against. But to make space, to nourish, to grow, and find stillness to be heard or to hear God and sense His grace. So do we need to follow the rules, the traditional rules? I don't think so. I think that was part of our Mennonite new, fresh understanding. And if anyone knows me, I'm not much of a rule follower anyway. I think there's suggestions. Of course, doing this is not an obligation, but rather an opportunity that can be very meaningful during the season or any other time. It's a mindful act of love, guided by your calling. Reflect on what you're called to offer up. Reflect on what you need nourishment in. What does it mean to you and why? One of the things I noticed when I first started learning about this practice is that people would often give something up because they thought they should, but would be immediately replacing it with something to distract the absence. So I'm going to give up coffee or chocolate, but so I don't notice that so much, I'm going to indulge in potato chips. Well, I don't think that's the point. The purpose is to remain mindfully open in the space, not to fill it. Last weekend, I was in Victoria attending with much delight Gabriella's first year of performance concerts. I got to hear her orchestra, got to hear her professors perform an in-house concert, and also got to hear her solo performance. And the solo performance was in this beautiful Presbyterian church where I took this picture. I was sitting there waiting for the concert to start, and I couldn't help but notice the scripture and had to take the picture. I'm not sure if you can see it because there's light, but it says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence." I don't know if anyone else sees the irony in this, but it's written over this massively, potentially very loud pipe organ. I enjoyed the humor of the moment. But I continued to reflect, and it led me back to this, my thoughts on this Lenten practice. There is a time to play and be loud and jubilant, but there is also a time to be silent, to leave the space unfilled so that God can lead in new ways, allowing for new things to happen. So now we will sing verse 3 again. But you will only sing it in here. I know our intonation will be flawless. And so I invite you to just let the space be there and let God lead you in that silent time. You can go to the next slide. July 1st, 1999 was the day of my son's memorial. And I will never forget this incredible double rainbow in the sky that day. This is not this that particular one. I don't have a picture of it. I didn't have a cell phone then. But this is one my daughter took just 2 weeks ago in Victoria when she was studying, and she turned around and just saw this incredible double rainbow. This is a zoom in, but there's actually a second one right above it. And she called me and said, "Mom, look what God gave me today." I was so delighted. When I saw that double rainbow back in 1909, it was though God was affirming his covenant with us. With me, to be there, faithful, trustworthy in all circumstances. God saw me in my wilderness and did not leave me alone, even if it seemed he was silent. In my wilderness, I found space to feel God's grace. So I encourage you to consider a Lenten journey, either during the traditional time or any time of the year where you feel called. And listen for where God is calling you to make space. What is something you're struggling with or holding on to dearly that God is asking you to let go, even if for a time, so God can fill the space with new things, new perspectives, new talents? Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. Amen. So let's come full circle and now stand and sing verse 4.
Harmony you want and can imagine.